Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
G'day, dear listeners. You're listening to Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories relating to Israel. Every Thursday at 7 p.m. Israel time here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day, Ross.
G'day, Jono.
On our Israel on My Mind Facebook page, there's a picture of you and I sitting down looking at a couple of papers. Where are we?
We are at Beit Shean.
And specifically,
we are in an area that is a Roman, a place where the people would go in. It's a public facility. We are actually sitting on commodes. Let's just get it out there. They would have water running under that. We would not be dressed, but we thought it more appropriate, especially for our picture on Israel on My Mind, to be seated there with clothes. We could do another one, but I'm not sure that would be appropriate, right?
We're sitting on an ancient Roman toilet. That's what it is, right?
That's it.
We're sitting there on an ancient Roman toilet. You can see this, dear listeners, on the Israel on My Mind Facebook page. You can see Ross and I on the toilet together. Woohoo!
That's right.
We might be going back there on this coming tour. We'll see how we go. Maybe we can get everyone. Big group toilet photo. But the reason why I'm kicking off with some toilet humor, and this is Aussie Dave from Israeli Cool who brought this to my attention. Epic Israeli building design fail. The Israeli town of Beit Shemesh, has a new cultural center planned. And this is a visual joke. I'm sorry, dear listeners, but you're going to have to go to the Israel on My Mind Facebook page and check this out. The plan of the model, right, of this planned new cultural center, it looks like a toilet. The building.
Does it?
The building is in the shape of a toilet.
Wow.
And you know what? I would go and visit that just for that reason. Have you ever been to Beit Shemesh?
I have not. What's on the inside of this toilet?
I'm hoping a swimming pool.
Okay.
I don't know, but it does. It looks like a toilet. And I've never been to Beit Shemesh. But if they build this thing, I'm there. I reckon we take the tour there maybe next year.
I'll go with you. I promise. I mean, if it's there, I got to see it.
Now, listen, dear listeners, we have so much more to talk about. Smoking, tobacco, other things that you can do with tobacco, some of the amazing technology that's coming out of Israel at the moment, and
rock and roll.
Bit of rock and roll history from Ross. Looking forward to that. Don't go away. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hi, this is Heather Dean. Is your home sweet home just a place to hang your hat? Check out The Modern Jewish Home every Wednesday at 5 p.m. for practical advice from a wide variety of experts and innovators about relationships, getting organized, growing your business, nourishing your body and soul, and even having a good laugh. So make yourself at home every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Israel time on The Modern Jewish Home here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, dear listeners, you're listening to Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories relating to Israel every Thursday at 7 p.m. Israel time here on Israel News Talk Radio. G'day, Ross.
Hey, Jono. Good to be back.
Nice to have you back, my friend. Here's a question for you. In your younger years, were you a smoker?
I've never been a smoker.
Never, ever?
I have never been a smoker.
Good for you.
That's one of the things that I just didn't do.
The reason why I ask is because, and this is reported in, the Times of Israel, and it's reported by Andrew Tobin, entitled, In Unheard Of Trend, Smoking Makes Comeback in Israel. Now, I looked at the stats, like in the States, I think the percentage of smokers in the US is something like, it's down to like 18%. That's all right.
Right.
18%. In Australia, get this, in Australia, it's down to 13%.
13%.
13%.
Well, you know, in the States, there it's becoming, I don't know the stats, it would be interesting to see, but I think it is becoming less and less because of all the outreach and the marketing campaigns to suggest how bad it is for your health. And so that, but I do notice, though, when I'm in Israel, there are quite a few smokers. Have you noticed that?
Oh, I have definitely noticed. And I know that the price of cigarettes is a lot cheaper. Like, I think it's something like maybe $10 a pack.
Wow.
And that's after recent tax rises, I think, in a packet of cigarettes. And that's $10, you know, US money. Now, I don't know how much cigarettes are in the States, but I'll tell you, here in Australia, cigarettes are about $20 a pack, and I'm talking US dollars.
I think it's about $5 a pack here, but it's enough to make anybody want to quit smoking. I can say that. That's expensive.
I can tell you that it is predicted through, I think, government taxes, and they really do throw the taxes on their hard and raise the price in the hope that that people will quit, and it seems to be working. They're predicting prices of something like $30 a pack. And that's US dollars.
Goodness.
And that's about, now that's by 2020 here in Australia. And I would be interested to see if it drops below 10%. I would expect that it would. And it is so much so that now when we're walking around out and about, and you see someone smoking in public, it's kind of like, you're smoking in public. It's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, is it in the States?
It is. And, you know, it's funny because you can't hardly smoke anywhere. I mean, stores, restaurants, even bar rooms. I mean, there's so many places. I think the rule is anywhere that food is served, smoking is not allowed now.
Right.
I mean, you almost have to go to a smoking establishment, a cigar bar or something like that if you wanted to smoke in the States.
Yeah, that's it. Now, this article goes on to say that some are blaming government. As more Israelis take to cigarettes, one of the leading causes of death in the Jewish state. Now, there's things that they can do. For example, have you got like the pictures on the cigarette packets over there?
I don't know. You know, I don't know.
So,
I know
so
that
here,
they put warnings. They put warnings posters up in establishments.
So. Right. So we had the warnings, and then what they did was they decorated the packets with horrible, you know, pictures of really sort of teeth, people's mouths with issues after smoking, or manner of the lungs, and I won't go into the detail, but it's graphic, absolutely graphic, and obviously people, you know, got sick of looking at that and go, well, I don't want to end up like that, so I'm just going to quit smoking now. And they tried to put this through. Now let me give you the stats before I talk about that. This article goes on to say that there has been a surprising increase in smoking, and it's a trend that is not seen anywhere else in the world. You know, in developed countries, it went down to about 20%, right? In 2011, however. From there on, it has sort of climbed again to 22.5. Now, again, it's not ridiculous. It's not crazy. It was once 80%, right?
Wow.
Oh, sorry. No, not 80. It was 45% in the early 1980s, to be specific. Now it's 22.5, but it's up 2.5%. So they're trying to figure out why. They do want to put these warnings, like these graphic picture type of warnings, on the packets, but that's being blocked by good grief,
it's by the people who grow the tobacco.
Actually,
do they? I wonder if they grow tobacco there or if they import it.
I don't know.
You know, because they have a lot of farmland. I don't know that I've ever noticed anything that I associated with tobacco. So I don't know if they have it imported or not.
Right. Yeah, I really don't know. What I can tell you is that Litzman, a member of the Ultra Orthodox United Torah Judaism Party, has recently come under fire for hindering some efforts to curb cigarette advertisements and for opposing regulations that would require manufacturers to put warning images. Now, that's what I'm talking about, the warning images on cigarette packets, saying it's not aesthetic. Well, yeah, that's right. Hmm. That's the idea.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
But he's blocking it, so he's sort of holding it up. I'll tell you who is on the campaign, though, to bring smoking down, and that's Yehuda Glick.
Okay.
Rabbi Yehuda Glick, who, incidentally, I met on tour once. In fact, we were very blessed to be able to be led around the southern wall of the Temple Mount by Rabbi Yehuda Glick. And that was 6 months, I think, before he was shot 4 times in the chest at close range and lived
right,
to tell the tale.
That.
An amazing man.
Now, he just he released a book last year about the Temple Mount, very detailed, nice, colorful, full of diagrams. And all. I don't know if you have that. I don't have it in front of me, but it's a very handy booklet for people who would like to know the history of everything about the Temple Mount. So,
really? Well, maybe we can get a copy of that when we're there this November. We are,
right.
By the way, people are going, when are you going? We're going in this coming November. In fact, our tour begins on the 30th of October. And we're going to be going, down south. We're going to be going up north, and we're spending some very special time in Jerusalem. Of course, maybe we can pick up a copy there. But if people would like to join us, because there are still seats available, and they're going quickly, but you can go to truth2u.org, truth2u.org, and get all the information there. And we would love to have you join us on the
Absolutely.
Bus.
Absolutely. And I don't know why we still have seats left. You know, last time when we announced this tour, we filled a bus.
We filled
and,
it.
We filled it pretty quickly. So we're hoping to have a full bus again, because I think there's nothing better that I would love to do than bring people to the land of Israel. So
that's right. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Glick said he recently sent a letter to Finance Ministry, which formulates the budget requesting a boost in the tax on loose tobacco. See, now the tax on loose tobacco is less than made up cigarettes, and he wants to make it equal. And he said he brought up the matter personally with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu last week, who said he would look into the matter. So he's working on a bill to reduce smoking among Israelis under the age of 21, since many young Israelis begin smoking in high school or during their army service. In any case, it's made a little bit of a comeback, and he's on the case to sort of quash that. So hopefully he'll have some success there, because it's bad for you, people. Stop it. While we're on the topic, and this is in No Camels by Einat Paz Frankel, Israel's coal plant to 3D print human organs using tobacco-derived collagen. Now, basically what it is, in fact, I'll just read the first paragraph. Replacing human organs with printable ones may sound like science fiction. Yes, it does. But research is currently being conducted on the transplantation of an artificial kidney, liver, and even a heart. Can you believe it? That's the kind of thing coal plant.
Technology in this 3D printing, it continues to – I think if you could see my face, my mouth is hanging open. I just can't believe that they're able to do this.
But this is a positive use of the tobacco plant, right? Israeli biomed firm Coal Plant is using or deriving a collagen from locally grown – there you go – locally grown tobacco leaves – that is used as a collagen-based bio ink intended for use in 3D printers to print out organs. So they believe this possible, and millions are going into this. So, oi, this is the kind of stuff that Israel's up to.
Wow, incredible technology. That's amazing.
Isn't it? Now, speaking of which, speaking of organs and what Israel is doing, I just found this, and maybe you saw this as well this week. Israeli scientists, this is Times of Israel, Itamar Sharon, Israeli scientists successfully regenerate damaged hearts. Now, this is using says the Weizmann Institute study finds molecule prevalent in embryonic cardiac tissue that promotes rapid healing in adult mice as well as in human cells. Now, historically, Ross, if one is a smoker or whatever the case may be, if there's damage to the heart, there's damage to the heart, and that's it. That's what it is. It's not going to, you know.
Right. Can't fix it.
Can't fix it.
Can't undo the damage.
Can't undo the damage. But Israel is turning that around with the use of what is called agrin. Researchers studied a protein called agrin, common in fetal hearts, which rapidly disappears after birth. And they now believe agrin, which resides in the space between prenatal heart cells, controls the process of cardiomyocyte, I hope I pronounced that right, regeneration.
Well, I won't know if you didn't. It sounds close enough to me.
It'll do. But how about that? I mean, it just gets more and more amazing. We're going to go to a break. We'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories relating to Israel every Thursday at 7 p.m. Israel time here on Israel News Talk Radio. Before we went to the break, we were talking about some of the amazing things that Israel have been doing and in technology and in science, in medicine, the use of tobacco, for example, to create organs, 3D printed organs. Can you believe it?
Unbelievable.
Also, the reversal of heart damage, the repair of the organ, the heart. Now, last week, Ross, you asked me if I could have a superpower, what would it be? We were, of course, talking about Gal Gadot. We were talking about the passing of the first Batman, weren't we? What was his name again?
Yeah, Adam West.
Adam West died in
88 last week.
That's right. And we were talking about, but certainly Gal Gadot, of course, Wonder Woman. And you made mention of the rope that causes one to tell the truth when the rope is tied around them.
The rope of truth.
The rope of truth. The rope of truth.
I love it.
Do you remember when Superman, he had that X-ray vision going on?
Yep. I do remember that. Is that so? You've given us some thought over the week. Now that's the superpower you want now?
Well, I don't know if it's the one I want, but it's the one I can have. According to No Camels, Amanda Go, she reports X-ray vision, VR, 3D sensor can see through any surface. Now, and she writes, who didn't watch Superman and wish they could see through walls? Now, thanks to Israeli technologies, developed by startup VR, what was previously confined to the realms of science fiction, once again, is becoming a reality. What they have is portable, discs or portable pads that can be affixed to a wall. You can see through the wall, or you can put these sensors, place them anywhere in the house, and it will create a 3D surveillance of the house, detect any movement. It can detect all sorts of things, Ross. This is amazing.
Well, that could either be used for good or for bad. Do you have to have like special glasses to use with these little attachable pads, or?
No, you don't. Because get this, all you need is the app. You download the app to your device, and it will keep you up to date with what's happening.
Wow,
it's amazing. So you can
use just watch it on your phone.
You can watch it on your phone. You can see what's going on. The one of the examples they use is, you know, you install one at grandma's house and make sure that she's okay and that, you know, she hasn't fallen over or whatever it may be. It can even monitor breathing and things like that in real time. It's amazing. It will also, with the use of something that you can attach to your phone, you can detect, you know, like plumbing pipes or electrical wiring behind a wall. If you want to drill through a wall and do something, You can do that safely using this this highly sophisticated radar system. How about that? X-ray vision.
I tell you what, that sounds interesting, but I would want to know, maybe I need to look at this article on our Facebook page. I need to know what these pads look like. I mean, how do you know if someone hadn't put one of these on your place?
Yeah, right.
Because they could use them for other things too, right?
They could live next door and put it on. I mean, if you're in a duplex or something like that, I wonder, you know, interesting.
I don't have close neighbors, so I'm not really worried about that. Plus, they wouldn't see anything exciting at my place, but it would just be... You know, it's something to think about. We do live in a society where smart TVs, I mean, you know, there are a lot of people who are nervous about the fact that even on a computer or some of these smart TVs that you're being watched.
That you're being watched,
and
yeah.
listened to while you're trying to watch or listen to a show. It's pretty bad.
I tell you, when I'm not using my camera on my iMac, I've got a sticker over it.
Oh, do you really?
I'm one of those people. And so you bring up a fair point. I mean, surely something like this can be used for evil as well as for good.
Always.
But, you know, I mean, this and there's so many applications that they highlight in this article, which, again, is on our Facebook page, Israel On My Mind. There are so many different applications for this. But again, Israel is bringing the technology to us and giving us a superpower. VR sensor comes on the heels of another Israeli gadget that sees through objects, SCIO, which scans objects and identifies their molecular makeup. Get that, the molecular makeup. SCIO is a tiny handheld scanner that can tell you whether an apple you want to bite into is fresh, what's in the pills your doctor prescribed, how many calories are in your meal, or whether your plant needs more water. Now, this goes into more detail in another No Camels article entitled Ripe for the Picking, New Israeli App Assesses Freshness of Produce. It claims that up to 50%, right, of worldwide fruit grown, you know, fruit and vegetables can be lost because it's been picked at the wrong time, whether it's too early or if it's too late. You know, by the time it gets to the shops, it's already kind of, you know, you got to put it on special.
Now, I would use that, because there is nothing worse than, like, I love apples. So I love these red, delicious apples, but there is nothing worse than bringing what you think is a good red, delicious apple and taking a bite out of it and finding that it's old. It's, you know, it's bad. So that would be handy if it could tell you that. I mean, you ever see people walk in stores and they thump a melon or they squish it? I could never do that. So maybe this device is what I need. Is it expensive or do we know?
Yeah, no, I don't think it is. Well, at least they don't give us a price. But again, it's a device that you can affix to your phone. You download the app and off to the markets you go. And yeah, I'm one of those people too. Like I often see people, you know, walk up to those avocados and give them a bit of a squish to see how ripe they are. I'm like, but you just damaged it. Can you just buy that one that you squished? I'm not a squisher. I'd love to have one of these. I think this is good.
Maybe that's the superpower I wish I had. Being able to detect if fruit is ready.
There it is. And that is Israeli startup Aklar Tech has developed a mobile app that allows to monitor in real time the ripeness, freshness, and quality of fruit and vegetables. Boy, oh boy, this is the kind of stuff coming out of Israel. Now, that reminds me, one last thing, because I know you want to... you want to have a chance to talk here, and I'm taking up all the time.
No, go ahead. I'm enjoying the show. It's really, you're doing a great job, Jono.
Well, I just wanted to say I'm really, really keen on this, and this is in Oz Israel, working together, ozisrael.com.au. It just so happens that Australia is taking up a couple of varieties of Israeli mango. I love mango, really like a mango.
Yep. I do too.
Very popular here. Potentially in the southern areas of Victoria. That's where I am. Love to see that. I mean, we're not in a tropical region here, but if you can grow it here, that'd be great. Love a good mango.
Huh. Here's a question for you. You're a musician, right?
Yep.
Do you like rock and roll?
I do.
Do you really like rock and roll? Like seven? Now, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about real rock and roll, like back in the 70s, kind of rock and roll.
I, you know, there are some who would say that God gave rock and roll to you. I'm not sure where that verse is in the Bible, but
I don't know.
But I'm a fan.
So, what about the band Kiss? You like the band?
Well, speaking
Kiss?
Of God Gave Rock and Roll to You, that's one of my favorite Kiss songs. Yeah.
Ah, that's right. They, you know, they have 100 million album sales. Kiss, the great band from the 70s. Now, when I grew up, I couldn't listen to them because I grew up in a very religious home, and you know, I mean, there were rumors that
they were truly the priests of Satan, were they not?
That's, I mean, think about it. Gene Simmons was called the demon. So it's kind of hard to sneak past and be able to watch that kind of stuff.
They were all thoroughly demon-possessed up to the eyeballs, no doubt.
No doubt. 28 gold records, and clearly it was because Satan was honoring some pact that they had with them. But it just so happens that that maybe they're not quite the bad guys that people tried to label them back in the day.
Go on.
According to Hollywood Reporter, Gene Simmons just paid tribute to his mother at a benefit gala for Yad Vashem. Now, we've gone to Yad Vashem before on our tours, so we've been there. But this evidently was a gala to raise money for the Holocaust Museum there in Jerusalem.
And
Gene Simmons was there he was one of the speakers there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about his mom. See, a lot of people might not know this. Did you know that Gene Simmons' mother was a Holocaust survivor?
Okay, so that I did not know. I knew that Gene Simmons was Jewish. And just for those who don't know, Gene Simmons is the one with the gigantic tongue, plays bass in the band Kiss.
Sort of a co-lead singer, bass player. Yeah, he, a.k.a. the demon. But he was born Chaim Witz, August 25th, 1949. Get this, at Rambam Hospital, right there in Haifa. And we're going to Haifa on our tour.
I didn't know that he was. No, I knew he was Jewish. I didn't know he was Israeli.
I know it. You know, he's Israeli. He was born in Israel. He lived in Israel until he was 8 years old, at which time he and his mom came to the States. So I learned that this week, actually.
Rock.
But not only is he Israeli and speaks Hebrew, but he speaks four languages. You know, with a tongue like that, I mean, you got to be able to speak. So he speaks Hungarian, evidently, German, English, and Hebrew.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, that is impressive. I didn't know that his mother was a Holocaust survivor. Now, well, good on him. Good on him for raising money for Yad Vashem. Very worthy cause. I didn't know any of that. Well, we might have to play some Kiss on the tour bus when we get to Haifa.
Oh, I'm all for it. Now, if you bring your guitar, can you do it? I can sing some of the songs.
No, I'll just bring a CD. That's all right.
Okay. All right. Well, we could try. Well, I'm up for it if you are.
Okay. No, I'm totally up for that. All right. Listen, we are going to another break. We're going to be back right after these messages. Don't go away.
Jew haters, beware. Political hitman is here. Who's in my crosshairs? Who's in my hot seat? I'm Howie Silberger. Join me Sundays at noon Eastern, 7 Israeli, and Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 9 Israeli, for Political Hitman, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to your listeners. You're listening to Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories relating to Israel every Thursday at 7 p.m. Israel time here on Israel News Talk Radio. We were just talking about Gene Simmons. Have you got anything else on him?
I do. You know, I got more information about Gene Simmons than I ever thought I would. I got into this. I mean, I thought, you know, just like you said, I didn't know all the details. I'm not going to give a full life story of Gene Simmons, but I will say this. I found it interesting that, you know, you remember they wore this makeup for a long, long time. no one ever even saw them. That was the big deal. You know, they were always in these suits.
And that was hard work, by the way. All that makeup and the costumes apparently was really hard work. Yeah.
I like those shoes, though. You know, I'm sort of a short guy, so if I could have those shoes...
You could go some platforms, you reckon. You remember the big heels?
Oh, yeah. No, but what I was going to say is, you know, he's his makeup, they all had different facial makeup and so forth, and he had this interesting design on his face. Turns out that it was inspired by a comic book character known as Black Bolt, who was Marvel Comics, one of the Fantastic Four. And if the listeners remember from last week, this is one of those who was, I guess, inspired by these two Jewish guys, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. So once again, there's a Jewish connection with... Well, this time with rock and roll. We did the smoking. We've got rock and roll. But the Times of Israel reported this week. Now, get this. If you've ever been to a rock concert or you've at any time been in rock music, you know this sign that people hold up their pinky and their index finger.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know that sign?
Yeah.
All right. So in article in the Times of Israel, Gene Simmons is attempting to trademark this particular hand sign. Can you believe that?
Can it be done?
Well, a lot of people are saying he's gone too far with this. I mean, first of all, he says that he was the first one to do this. He claims that back in 1974, in the heyday of Kiss, that he came up with this sign. And so he wants to trademark it. But it's so funny because now the Twitter world is going crazy finding and digging up other people who were using the sign before he did. Someone dug up from 1966, the Beatles, Yellow Submarine.
Really?
Yep, John Lennon on the cover of this single, Yellow Submarine, is doing this hook sign. And so what do you do? I mean, really, can you really trademark this sign? Because another one of the arguments that came up is, in the American Sign Language, this means I love you. So, you know, I mean, yeah, it's going to be sort of a tricky deal to get around that. I mean, I don't think he's going to be successful in this. Maybe he can, but a lot of people are pretty doubtful he's going to be able to trademark the hand sign.
Now, that reminds me, this hand sign. Now, Roman Polanski, I saw Roman Polanski, a film recently. It was I think it was a 1960s vampire film. It was a comedy. It must have been set in, or it was supposed to be set in Transylvania. And there was a lot of Jewish overtones in this film. But I do remember, when it was a quirky film, The Fearless Vampire Killers was what it was called. And it was 1967. And I can tell you that the person who played Dracula, I remember in the film, used that sign.
Really?
1967.
Now you know this. You're going to look this up and find it and prove it to me then.
Yeah.
1967. So we'll have to post that on Gene Simmons' Twitter feed and let him know.
Wow. That's fascinating.
Look, do you keep up with world news? You know, right now in the U.S., if you haven't heard, there's a lot of talk about collusion with the Russians. Have you heard anything about this?
Oh, never ending.
Okay.
When will it end? So, I wish it would.
Well, I wanted to use this as an opportunity for a disclaimer. I have not colluded with the Russians in any way. I have had no private meetings, Jono, not one. I don't even know any Russians personally. So I just wanted to get that out front. I'll testify under oath that I'm clean in this part of it.
Right.
But I did want to say that recently, now you might be surprised to hear this. I'm going to tell you what the headline, this was in World Israel News, Hamas and Hezbollah are not terrorist organizations, according to Alexander Petrovich, who is the Russian ambassador to Israel. Did you know this?
Oh, my God. The Russian ambassador to Israel is saying that Hamas and Hezbollah are not terrorist organizations. That's what you're telling me.
That's right. That's what he says. And Alexander Petrovich Sheen.
Has he been given the boot?
Well, no. That's what it is. Now, look, here's the quote. He says, we do not consider these organizations to be terrorists, Sheen said, according to a translation provided by Middle East Media Research Institute. That's a memory. You equate ISIS with Hamas and Hezbollah, but we think this is wrong. Now, the ambassador does go on to recognize that they're both radical organizations, which get this, sometimes adhere to extremist political views.
Oh, sometimes.
But he goes on to say that we cannot designate them as a terrorist organization. You know why?
Why?
I mean, because when I read this, I thought, how in the world could you say this? Well, he says, according to Russian law, according to the Supreme Court, following an appeal by the prosecution, they define a terrorist organization as such when they intentionally conduct acts of terror in Russian territory or against Russian interest abroad, such as installations, embassies, offices, or citizens. So it's a very, very narrow view. So you can say that they're wicked, they're bad, they hold radical views, extreme political views. But in order to label them, according to their Supreme Court, in order to label them an actual terrorist organization, which much of the world has, by the way, they have to have a direct effect against Russian citizens or interests.
If I am to understand what you're saying, Russia's perspective is if it doesn't happen to us, it doesn't happen. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, it really is. In fact, an interviewer challenged the ambassador when he made this outlandish comment and said, you know, hey, what about when rockets were fired at Tel Aviv a few years ago? Because you and I have been to Israel quite a few times and they have plenty of Russians who live in Israel.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, the interviewer asked him, look, they all faced the same rocket fire. What do you do about that? These are Russians. What I mean, my God, man. But Sheen responded by stressing that Russia condemns the firing of those rockets, but we don't consider Hamas and Hezbollah to be terrorist organizations.
Mind-blowing. Do you know what comes to mind when you were talking about that? Of course, Jeremy Corbyn, there was the election recently in the UK. He was the runner-up. He came much closer than they thought he would, but he failed to secure the prime ministership. And one of the reasons they're saying is because of a quote that he made on television saying, get this, that Hamas and Hezbollah were friends.
Mm.
He referred to them as our friends, Hamas and Hezbollah.
Oh, I was going to say they are friends. They're cut from the same cloth. You mean his friends.
He was referring to them as his friends. Didn't go down well with the Jewish community, and they're saying that cost him, and rightly so. And I'm glad he didn't get in for that reason. My goodness. How would you define terrorism?
Well, terrorism is, in my opinion, certainly not as loose as what they're saying. I think that any time an organization singles out the attack and hurt of any innocent group, non-combatants, then that would be somewhat of a definition of terrorism.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's exactly what these groups are doing.
Violence inflicted upon innocent civilians because of a political ideology. I think that's a fair definition. And I think certainly Russia should reconsider.
I do too. But, you know, a lot of people are scared to talk to them because if you get seen talking to them right now, you know, so I'll have to wait till this blows over. But, you know, I'll try to
wait until it blows over and then make a few calls. Maybe you can sort it out.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, again, it's this blaming of another group, which brings me to one final point that I wanted to get in.
Go on.
Is this, there was a new UN report by official Dubravka Simonovic.
Mm-hmm.
She says that there is a clear link between the what is called the occupation and Palestinian men beating their wives.
Oh.
So did you see that?
I saw that. What kind of insanity is this? And so now, no, I saw that. And so now what they're saying is that it's Israel's fault for Palestinian domestic violence.
Of course it would be. Anything that goes on that we can or even, I mean, that's ridiculous to blame that on Israel. But according to this new UN Human Rights Council, there was a debate that broke out over it. But this was actually filed as a report by this person saying that that's the reason they beat their wives. Now, I don't know who, if anybody believes that, but I bet even their wives wouldn't believe that, wouldn't you think?
It just, there's no end to it. There's no end to it. Oh, my goodness. The UN, I saw the footage of that being floated in the UN. And I just, you know what? Honestly, I just can't even believe we contribute to such an organization. We've run out of time, Ross. I would love to go into this in detail because you've been there. You've been to the UN. You took part in the anti-BDS conference, right?
Yep.
And surely they talked about this kind of stuff. Maybe we can talk a little bit more in detail in this regard when we come back next week.
Hey, that sounds great. That's a good topic. There's always something exciting going on at the UN.
There always is, and it just blows my mind. But we've run out of time, my friend. So thank you, dear listeners, for listening. We hope that you join us again this time next week. In the meantime, have a great one.
Have a beautiful week.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.